Good afternoon. My name's Sean Hill with the West Virginia Development Office, and I'm proud to be here today to sponsor this Tech on the Street session. It's so important to us, the relationship that we've developed with industrial brokers across the country in the West Virginia Development Office, because your success is directly tied to ours and vice versa. The past several years, West Virginia has worked hard to improve our business climate, dropping business taxes and or eliminating them entirely over the last 20 years. We've also, our cost of doing business is 14% lower than national average. Our cost of living is also 14% lower than the national average. Put that together with our close proximity to some major markets on the East Coast, and we think we're really a great location for you all to cite some of your clients. We want to talk about some of the recent victories we've had in the state of West Virginia. That's a couple of expansions from big names you might know of, like Toyota. We've also had some recent wins with names Macy's.com, and our recent giant victory with Procter & Gamble building their second U.S. manufacturing facility since 1971 in Martinsburg, West Virginia. So keep us in mind. We're really excited to do business with you, and we hope to improve our relationships with SIOR in the future. We recognize that you all are the premier industrial brokerage group in the country, so we really appreciate that relationship. At this time, I'd like to introduce Steve Weichel, who's going to moderate this event today. Steve is the head of industrial relations at the MIT Center for Real Estate, responsible for managing relationships between the center and its global network of industry partners and nearly 1,000 alumni of MIT's Masters in Real Estate Development program in 43 countries. He's a lecturer, researcher, focused on innovative new technology and business models that disrupt the traditional ways of developing, transacting, and managing real estate. He is the founder of Real Disruption, a successful series of conferences discussing the impact of emerging technology on the real estate industry, and he sits on the advisory boards of two Boston-based real estate technology startups. Steve told me not to read his full bio because it would take too long, so everyone give a round of applause for Steve Weichel.
Good afternoon. We're going to make a quick technical change, and we're good to go. Perfect. So we're here to talk about technology, and yet we're still toggling back and forth between PDF and PowerPoint. I guess that's going to be that way for a while. But thank you for having me. I'd like to thank SIOR, especially the planning committee who helped put this session together, and also the New England group, where I had my first opportunity to speak about real estate technology. So I really appreciate that they had me come in and then later recommended me to come here and meet all of you. So I thank you for that. I'll tell you a little bit about MIT, which will provide some of the context of our discussion about technology and real estate. The MIT Center for Real Estate. Anybody familiar? Did anybody know MIT had a Center for Real Estate? Ah, you did. Thank you. There is a Center for Real Estate. It's been around since 1985, founded by Hank Spaulding, Peter Aldrich, some of the other great Boston names in the real estate industry. Within the center, we do industry research. We also have a Master of Science in Real Estate Development that is delivered within the center. And there are a number of labs. MIT loves labs, and this is where the research goes on. We have a real estate innovation lab, which is relevant to our conversation today. We also have an urban data lab and the media lab. Many of you have, maybe you have heard of the media lab. There are roughly 1,000 alums of the program in 44 countries. We have 25 partner companies globally, numerous annual conferences and symposia, including Real Disruption. And Real Disruption is how the center started taking a look at this real estate tech space. About 24 months ago, we realized that there was, for a long time, have been doing research on innovation in the real estate industry. And there was this flood of new companies anywhere from 24 to 36 months ago. And we identified initially 200 new ventures that specifically enabled the business of commercial real estate. The pool is much larger. In fact, there's an estimate there are 2,500 of these startup real estate tech companies globally. But our original data set was about 200. Didn't include residential, multifamily, or B2C, although we're spreading out, broadening our view on that. Also, portfolio management, real estate crowdfunding, there are 150 of those globally, 75 of them in the U.S. So we're looking into that as well. But there's something going on there. Between 2011 and 2013, it's estimated there was about $200 million in VC put into these. In 2014, roughly $680, and it depends upon how you measure, but regardless, these are big numbers. The big one is $1.5 million in global VC is going into startup real estate technology companies. Granted, they're not all in our commercial real estate space, but there's definitely disruption, definitely activity going on, and we'll talk about what the disruption is. This is happening for a number of reasons. We've got breakthroughs in technology. You've heard about them: cloud computing, leaner coding platforms, collaboration tools, mobile devices, sensors, lower cost, ubiquitous connectivity with these primarily. And we're unlocking big data, and also smaller data is getting crowdsourced. So this is what's going on. We've got the convergence of money, and we've got the convergence of technology. And there's a focus on a commercial real estate, partly because it's such a huge pot of money and a huge industry. The transaction values tend to be higher than residential. Also, the Great Recession forced a lot. It's no surprise that these companies came out 3 years ago or 4 years ago or 2 years ago, because the recession forced people to be more strategic and work with lower budgets and find lower cost solutions. And also, the new workforce, I know there's a lot of talk about the millennials. There was this great discussion this morning. This workforce demands tools that are easier to use and more fun to use. So there's some demand pull. And what it means for us is faster, more accurate tools, much more data available, much more transparency. We now, speaking as an academic, instead of backward-looking analysis, we have the opportunity to do predictive analytics, which is pretty exciting. And these tools attract a high-quality workforce. There's an impact on place and an impact on space, and I will discuss all of that tomorrow in my session tomorrow morning, so I hope you'll join us. So there's the pitch. Anyway, so today's exercise, the Planning Committee had a great idea that instead of just talking about the technologies, let's create a scenario. And this is very stylized, but let's assume we have a broker that's competing to win a deal, 10,000 square feet in a Class B building in Chicago in the Loop. Chicago broker, name a building. No Chicago brokers? Yes, sir. What building? Okay, I just thought we'd name a building so that we'd know where we were. But anyway, we're in the submarket in a Class B. Willis Tower. Yeah, that's a little Class B building. Thank you. So we have, and in fact, I shouldn't joke about it, because these are tools that you'll see that can be used anywhere. But so the question is, what tools and apps are out there that can differentiate you and us from the rest of the market? What will make our job easier, what makes us work faster, more effectively, keep our clients happier, whether it's the owner or whether it's a tenant. And so what tools are those? So within this framework, because otherwise it's a huge conversation, and you'll see from the 157 slides I have tomorrow, we'll keep this a narrow discussion. And in doing that, I broke it down into four pieces of this story, and we'll go through the story, and then my friends and guests will explain their piece in this timeline. So generally speaking, searching, listing, and marketing a property. Looking for it, listing it, marketing. The second one, showing a property, touring the property, and again, marketing is kind of a common theme because we're marketing all the time. The third, effectively and efficiently negotiating the deal. There are dozens of tools I could show you, but I have one that I think is particularly interesting. And the last one is, how do we manage more deals with less effort? And so in each of these categories, I have four of my friends who will come up and work, demonstrate, tell a little bit about the company, and then we'll have Q&A afterward. So with that, I will turn it over to Josh. Here we go. If you want to use that.
Which button is it?
That's the right, that's the forward and the advance.
Okay, great. Hi there. Josh McClure. I started Real Massive about 3 years ago. The point behind Real Massive was I was driving around in a car looking for listings. I realized that that was very difficult to do. I couldn't see into the office buildings. I was a CEO of a high-tech software company, and we were just bursting at the seams. I didn't want to upgrade into new space, but my employees basically were telling me that some of them were going to leave unless I got some for them. And so I needed to upgrade into some nice office space, and I found that the search experience was subpar to what is available out there with Zillow and with the technologies I know that are available at Google. So I contacted some friends at Google, and I asked them if they would like to be part of searching commercial real estate, and they jumped on board very enthusiastically. So what we have now is we have a search engine and marketing platform built in partnership with Google, built on Google's hardware, using Google's proprietary search algorithms. This opens up the marketing information for your listings. It allows you to quickly and very accurately search listings. These listings are sourced and are managed by the landlord or their exclusive listing agent. This gives you the freedom that you need to be able to collaborate with your office worker, your fellow office workers, with your staff, with prospective tenants, with asset managers, etc., without having to worry about who's logging into what platform or fear of litigation for, you know, sharing something with somebody. It also allows you to greatly increase the exposure for your listings. So because this is built in partnership with Google, and we're still working with it, it's going to get better and better all the time. We've done case studies with some of our listing brokers. As soon as they got their listing onto our website, they doubled their exposure, doubled the calls, et cetera, that were coming in on those listings. We have now listing agents who are featuring their listings on our site. We have a case study. We can show you that later, where we got about the exposure increased about 440% on average. So it's an open platform for the exchange of marketing data, not proprietary information. Marketing data has to be free. And so we make this free to everyone, the same way that Google makes this data free to be searchable. You do not have to pay to list on Real Massive. It follows the Google model. If you want to feature your listings or pay for ads, that sort of thing, we can definitely take your money on that. We have some workflow automation tools that are designed specifically for commercial real estate professionals to make things a little bit more efficient for your staff or for yourself if you're listing. We do not own your data. Just like Google, you own your data and you manage it. We do not charge for availability information. We don't badger you for proprietary information. You won't see us calling you or bugging you. And we don't stand between you and the marketplace, and we will never take a percentage of your transactions. So we actually don't allow broker's licenses inside of the company. We are your marketing department. That's the way we see it. We do align our business with yours. We try to push exposure for your listings and push your spaces across the internet as much as possible. We do the brute force effort, the grunt work of getting your initial data entry managed and put through accurately. We have a whole staff for that, and we have some natural language processing and machine learning systems that can catch data entry errors, errors from your staff. Because we compare it to the rest of the market information. And that's something else that you'll find that's really interesting is our technology actually compares your listings to other comparable listings in the marketplace and can tell you if you're high or low on asking rates, et cetera. We also have some proprietary technology that will give you insight into your marketplace as well as other marketplaces. If you have, for instance, a friend of yours who's moving from your city into another city, we can give you some insight there. We are active in last I checked it was 33, but it looks like we're in 40 now markets. and just about 5 billion square feet of coverage. So we have become the Zillow of commercial real estate. If you're not on there already, if you have a marketing manager in your office, you probably need to ask why, because we've covered most of the, basically the top 20 brokerages in each major metropolitan market at this point, with the exception of New York. So get listed, get trained, and get connected. Tanya Hamlin is gonna come up and give you a really quick demo of the site. You'll see it's very Zillow-esque, it's very Googly. This is, again, no cost to you to get listed. Once you see benefits from it, you're welcome to pay us for advertising or whatever, but you don't have to. Our staff will come to your office, train your people, and without further ado, Tanya Hamlin.
Thanks, Josh. I know we only have a couple of minutes, so I'll just run through the highlights of what our product can do for marketing the listing as the scenario that Steve was talking about. So the first thing that we could do is, like Josh was saying, is you could list with us for free. So this is basically where you would enter in your data for the listing. You have, I just created a demo listing for you just to see what that would look like. You'd enter in photos, floor plan, all of the space details. And because it's an open platform, you can share this URL simply by copying and pasting it. If you wanted to promote it on your LinkedIn profile, your firm's Facebook page, a Twitter account, simply copy and paste it into an email to get as much exposure as you want to on this. And this also allows you to, you can edit and control your information. So as soon as you want to change the rate or if it needs to be updated, space is different or something has changed, you can simply do that quickly, and it's updated instantly once you hit save. So it allows you to control that information. And then we also provide marketing marketplace analytics for the listing through the site. And this is the space analytics tells you here how many views the space has, how many views the page of your listing from the site or from wherever you've posted it. It also tells you that we have this space in market surveys. So the streamlined process that we do is you can create market surveys where you can save data. And in this regard, this means that there's people who have possibly like tenant rep brokers who are using this platform to create the market survey and have your space in that survey. So it gives you an idea of the demand for your listing. And it also tells you with the market based off location, square footage, rates, how many other similar spaces to your listing that it has in that market. And this will give you good information for what your competitive set is. And you can create a competitive set simply by doing a search for those other listings in that market that are gonna be in Central Loop, Class B space within a certain size range. You would see the different availability that we have to search through, and you can create the competitive set simply by selecting that information, saving it to the market survey, where then you can manage and see all the different information by sorting it. If you want to sort by rate, like Josh was saying, seeing what is the high and the low within that same, within your competitive listings. And it gives you an idea of where to market that space based off of what the other information, what the other spaces are going for. There's the map, it maps out the listings as well, so you know exactly where your location is in relation to your listing that you're gonna market. You can also share this information with your asset owner simply through our share link instead of having to use you know, by email or downloading it, you can simply share it with them, and it gives them an idea of what is also in relation to the listing that you're marketing for them. And that's kind of the highlights we have right now. So I'll leave it up to Steve.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Josh, Tanya, thank you. So we've seen a tool of how to identify the places that we might, the sites that we might be interested in. Now the next step is to go check them out. And there are a number of different people that are involved in that process, a number of steps involved in that process as well. So let me show you something new and interesting that makes our life a little easier in that particular situation. And I'm not going to show you. I'm going to ask, watch this.
Hey guys, I'm at the property right now. Are you ready to start the tour?
We're excited to see it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Awesome, here we go. This is a 2-bed, 2-bath unit in the heart of River North. I'm excited to show you the awesome city views too.
Hey guys, I'm Matt Wyrick. I am the co-founder CEO of Reelink, and at the very core of what Reelink is all about is this: live experiences of space when either distance, time, or something prevents all parties or part of a party from physically being there in person. So as you can see, it's a mobile-based platform using nothing more than your smartphone or your tablet. And it facilitates that live experience. Commercial real estate's a very global industry. You have decision makers spread all around the world. And when it comes to actually experiencing a property, whether you're marketing the space and trying to get people in there to give that pitch and give that sell, or whether you're representing the clients and trying to give them that powerful experience to see the space and envision their business in that space, the most powerful experience is that live interaction. So if 2 out of the 5 decision makers are out of town on business or out of country, but the other 3 are physically there in person, what can you do to make them involved? What can you do to help them still see the space and be a part of that decision-making process? Well, you can pull out your smartphone or your tablet, and with the touch of a button, you can bring them in to that experience in real time with the power of live streaming video. Now, a lot of people ask, why not FaceTime or Skype? Why not just use existing technologies that are out there? Well, they're not built for your specific needs. They're not real estate specific. The Reelink platform is built for commercial real estate and built for a global audience at that. Our platform is helping companies save precious time and money during that touring part of the process by helping expedite it. Steve talked about what technologies can you use to close deals more quickly and more efficiently. Well, if you don't have to wait on all decision makers to schedule flights to physically be there in person, that's instantly helping to expedite the tour while still giving you the power to control that touring experience, interact with your clients, and show them exactly what they want to see. So we're a new technology. We just launched our platform in March of this year, so I wouldn't be surprised if none of you have heard about us yet. However, we are already in over 43 states and 29 countries. Since March of this year, we've had over 1,600 live tours and pre-recorded videos created on our platform, and we are helping commercial brokers generate new leads, new visibility into their spaces. So I could talk about numbers, I could talk about what's different about our platform and all of that, but why not get real? We're a live streaming platform, so we might as well show you guys exactly what we're made of. The great thing about our technology is, like I mentioned, you need nothing more than a smartphone or a tablet to host these tours. For your clients, they don't need to sign up, they don't need to sign in. With the touch of a button out of an email, they can connect with this handsome fellow. I'll let him introduce himself.
Hello, everyone. How's everything going? My name is Ani Rangarajan. I'm the co-founder of Reelink, and I'm excited to actually show you this gorgeous Palmer House Hotel in real time. Let me flip us over.
So as you guys can see, this is live video. My co-founder Ani, he's just out in the hallway walking around showing us this beautiful space. And we're getting an echo because it's fully audio enabled. Let me actually mute our microphone real quick. But while this is going on, you can interact with the host. You can ask questions. You can see exactly what you want to see. I can say, hey, Ani, can you show me who's sitting right to your left? And he can zoom in on the poor fellow sitting directly
Absolutely.
To his left.
Absolutely.
Wave your hand over there, Ani. Ani, wave your hand.
So, as I mentioned, we are built for real estate. While this tour is going on, you can also see interactive maps of the area. You can view property specs and information. You can put all of this relevant data right in front of your customers. Speaking of Google, so you can actually pull in an interactive Google map. You can zoom in for a 3D look at the high rise or the hotel that you're viewing at that time. And you can even go all the way in to the street view and look at the surrounding area. It helps people get that full encompassing view and experience of the space without having to physically be there in person. Furthermore, while the tour is going on, the attendees on the tour, they can capture photos, they can take notes, and all of those notes are time-stamped because this entire experience, though live, is all saved and recorded. The photos they take, the notes they take, and all of the interactions with this live video is instantly saved to the cloud. So they can then pull that up later, they can review it, they can share it with other key decision makers on their team and have that as a saved file and a saved entity to help improve and expedite that decision-making process. And then finally, another functionality, just in case the person does not have a microphone on their computer or doesn't know how to enable the microphone on their computer, there's a chat function as well. So even if they cannot hear you, they can still see the chat while the tour is going on. So it is a fail-proof experience. We've built it on brand new video messaging technology that actually works in an elevator and does not lose signal. It's an exciting time to be doing some creative things with video. And when it comes to connecting with your client, whether you're representing the space or representing the company, there are so many creative ways that just in the last 6 months in the marketplace, commercial brokers all over the US and all over the world have put this into use to expedite and streamline their touring process. So I'll go ahead and hop out of the tour and we can keep moving through this.
Okay, awesome. Beautiful, thank you. Terrific, thanks Matt. Okay, so we've seen a new tool for finding the property, sorting through the market. We've seen a great tool for showing the space, one of many, but a really neat one, showing the space from your iPhone. Now we're closer to putting the deal together and we want to do some due diligence. There are a number of really great new tools. Again, we'll talk about some of those tomorrow. But right now, I'll ask Scott Openlander to come up and tell us a little bit about Remeter.
Thank you, Steve, and the opportunity to present today. It might be a little challenging for me as my colleague Jessica Sherwood is here, who reminds me that, Scott, you're too detail-oriented and you talk too slow. But this is very high level, and we hope to explain it succinctly. Why Remeter? There's a systemic misunderstanding by the CRE community to understand risks of tenants, their industries, and even the data they use to measure tenant performance. This is actually one of the reasons of the 2009 crash. That there was really no good private data sources to make sound decisions, whether it's doing commercial loans, leasing space, or other transactions. And the opportunity came about because we were able to get exclusive data from the only provider to utilize IRS Census and Bureau of Labor Statistics data to underwrite commercial real estate. And what does that mean? When we benchmark a tenant against their peer group, we're benchmarking them against every company there is within that industry or in geographic area. So it's 100% complete and certified, and it's not surveyed information or volunteered, which is commonplace. And so after development and substantial testing, we've created a simple technological solution to create credit scores for companies and tenants. So let's go back. What really is a problem? CRE professionals can lose millions of dollars to tenant defaults. They can lose capital, have reduced vacancies, and lose residual value. And they also have a challenge in understanding the tenant industry. So the Sears Tower, for example, could have 40 different industries that the landlord really doesn't understand many of how well they're doing. And then the third issue is there's not a lot of good standardized methods to underwriting tenants and lease transactions. And this ultimately leads to poor decisions, costly mistakes, and slow responses. So the main components, the main issues are poor data. Data is unreliable, is volunteered or surveyed. There's only 10,000 public companies in the U.S., and there's 29 million establishments. So 99.99% are private companies that you cannot get good data on. It's a tedious process, so if you hire a credit underwriter, it could take days up to a week to turn around on your to find out if your deal is going to be funded or not, or it could be where you give it to an internal person within your company, an accountant or someone, and it sits on a stack of papers and you're waiting to respond to an LOI. It's quite often subjective, so there's a lot of ways people do this manually. Some might just eye up financials, some might benchmark financials and use poor data, or some might just feel that they shouldn't, you know, they select on which deals they should run a lease underwriting on. And accountants or MBAs can only do this analysis, so instead of maybe the asset manager or the deal maker themselves. And the solution. So our underwriting product is called the TIL score. It stands for Tenant, Industry, and Lease. It's a very, very creative acronym. And we consider it like similar to a FICO score for underwriting commercial tenants. So it's almost like you can log in and within 10 or 15 minutes generate a score and rating on this deal, just like your own personal FICO score, and understand what that means in terms of risk. So our solution is we were able to get an exclusive with this unprecedented data that includes our database concludes every company in the U.S. It's also certified and accurate because unlike volunteering information to other private data sources or combining different, you know, some data companies take sources from various sources and try to combine them. We're taking one data set. It's from IRS tax records, and if it's inaccurate, there's severe penalties. So we feel very confident in being able to measure risk by using this data. Fastest process, so you can run these in as little as 15 minutes instead of spending a whole day, plus also understand the tenant's industry. It's objective, it's all mathematical scoring and algorithms versus subjectivity or maybe trying to rate benchmarks yourself. And it's very easy to use. So we made it very simple and easy to use. Our three products, our first product is TIL Score. Our second product is iReport Industry Report. So you can evaluate local or U.S. national industries at about 1,000 different industries anywhere in the U.S. We're down to the county level, but soon we'll be down to ZIP plus 4 level. And then the third is background check. So background check, we're looking for liens judgments. Also, we run compliance checks for terrorism and OFAC. And background check is really great to do because even if you don't run a credit report, at least you can historically see if anyone has filed liens against a company and that they've paid their bills in the past. About RE Meter, it was formed in 2014. We developed the technology and beta tested. We launched in 2015 with the TIL. We have 4 employees. Our technology team is in place, $2.5 million in funding to date. Our market is all 50 states. And we've reviewed about 6.5 million square feet of lease deals in about 65 different industries as well for our clients. My partner is Jack Buck. The Buck Company, it's 20 years of leasing and development experience. Myself, I worked for several office and retail REITs, and always was a guy that everyone came to underwrite deals. And I really felt that this should be really an automated and quick process to enhance the lease deal making experience. And then John Buck at the John Buck Company is also a primary investor.
Scott, do you want to demo it?
Yeah.
That would be great. What do we got? I think we're here. Is that where we are? There we are.
Beautiful. Right there.
Got it.
Okay. So log in.
Anybody want to volunteer to get investigated? No? Okay.
I was logged in. You know, I logged in earlier.
I'm sorry. Were you logged in?
I was earlier than I was logged out.
Probably bumped you out. For security reasons, right?
Sure, security reasons. That's right.
Is caps lock?
Okay, maybe.
It's off now.
It's off now? Okay. Well, I know it's correct.
Want to try it once more?
Sure.
We might be having a little connectivity issue. So this is the challenge with all this really great technology.
Internet. So caps are off. And shift.
We're not getting there. Are you sure you get shifted? Just
know that caps are off. I might have. Shift.
You're literally losing.
Let me ask this question. What is the typical way of doing this particular piece of the exercise? I guess I'm not going to get an answer. I'll bring it up during Q&A.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It also helps to use your own laptop sometimes. So we went out and we searched for a space, and then we toured a space, and there was a negotiation of basic terms or maybe an LOI, and at that point the landlord decided, well, let's see if they can afford the rent. And so the process that we have is we have a programmable credit application that our clients can send to a tenant and have them fill out and certify this form, email that back, and then it's uploadable into the analysis. So you can avoid actually figuring out and entering the financials. And I ran this report recently. And so when we developed this product, we really didn't look at it as credit underwriters, we looked at it as lease underwriters and what's the legal structure of a lease versus a loan, and also understand how do tenants pay rent. And so we looked at three main components to underwrite a tenant: the tenant score, the industry score, and the lease score. And those three factors combined give us an overall aggregate score of a 0 to 1,000. And then based on that score, we can actually take the building cap rate and adjust just the leaseholder cap rate for this deal. So you can understand intrinsically if it's adding value monetarily or maybe it's actually reducing value of the property. And so we worked with an economist, so we created an index of 10 financial ratios that are more related to payment of rent for tenants and their behaviors. And we looked at 10 factors and created an index. And so we looked at business performance factors of growth and profitability. And then we also looked at business risk factors of liquidity, leverage, and use of assets. And what we did is, based upon every benchmark, you can quickly eye up where are the trouble points, where they're performing worse than most companies in their peer group, or possibly where they're performing strong. And it's a quick insight into going back to the tenant and possibly inquiring about certain things. So some of the highlights: rent is paid out of EBITDA, we measure EBITDA growth. In EBITDA margin, we measure sales growth and gross margin. We think those are very important ratios. Current ratio, rent is paid out of that working capital. We look at leverage, debt to equity, size of the company. The three most determinant indications of business performance are size, industry, and location. And then we look at the use of the assets as well. We also rate the local industry. So a lot of landlords don't understand local industries. They don't know if they're growing and profitable, or they're contracting, or are they hiring more employment, or actually reducing locations. So we use the same methodology for this, to rate the local industry. You can see some of the standard deviations of the whole data set that were used. And all that analysis was based upon this information. So here we have number of local companies, 3,107 were used. We have the combined revenue of this market, $10.57 billion. We have the average per establishment, and then we can compare that against the tenant and see where they fit in revenues and EBITDA. We know the net new number of establishments year to year. We also have similar data for the whole U.S. industry. In case you always wanted to know, there's approximately 120,270 law firms in the U.S. And then we trend things that we think are important to understand demand for space. So we look at, we trend number of establishments locally and nationally, and we see what is the growth the same or better or worse. And we also do the same thing for employment as well. We also measure a few rent-related ratios. So local industries can be highly volatile. We ran a report on one industry where in Chicago, the revenues doubled by, year to year, the revenues doubled. So the market grew by 100%. And then one of the really unique things that we do is we benchmark the lease deal. And so of all those firms we looked at, we actually benchmarked the proposed lease terms of the tenant against the tenant's financials and take that ratio, rent coverage is EBITDA to rent, and we compare it to the industry. And so in a sense, we really know if this tenant can afford the lease deal because they only have so much EBITDA and they only have so much revenue to afford rent. We also can include if they're a larger firm and have other locations that they're renting, we can go aggregate all that rent and truly benchmark the company corporately. And we provide all the information of the lease deal as well. Once you've underwritten the deal, the other option that our clients can do is that they can live score the lease structure. So let's say they were uncertain of this tenant, and they wanted to see, you know, how security might impact the score. So, you know, based on break even security or, you know, potentially a reduction in capital, you can see how it'll actually impact the score. And once you're set with the analysis, let me go back. So once you've set your analysis, you can print create a PDF of the whole analysis and then email it to whoever you need to for approvals or colleagues or you know, to help facilitate the deal. So that's the TIL score. That quickly the other product we have are iReports. And all you have to do is simply enter a zip code and an industry code. And as quickly as that, it'll evaluate your local industry economically. It's more detailed and robust than what's inside the TIL, but basically it'll show you things such as on a macro level, so it'll give you total revenue of the local industry. It'll give you the year-to-year growth. It also do the same thing about EBITDA. So in this case, EBITDA is actually declining, which suggests that on as a whole, the market probably will try to pay less rent in future deals. And then we also measure it EBITDA to rent to sales. And then we also have on the micro side. So we do the per established average and see if the average law firm, is their revenue on the average increasing or decreasing, the same with EBITDA. And you can see in this case, there's more law firms coming into this market. And on the average, there's less revenues and EBITDA to be shared. So I think it's a really neat tool to understand tenant industries, maybe understand which tenants you should go after for either clients or leasing to as well.
Terrific. Thank you very much, Scott. Okay, so we've searched, we've toured, we've now done a little vetting, and the question is, how do we do a lot of this all at once? These tools help us speed things up, but hopefully this allows us to do a lot of deals, and how are we going to be able to do a lot of deals? So with that, I will turn it over to Brandon Weber.
Hey everyone, can you hear me okay? Fantastic. So I'm actually going to start out with a question. How many of you, just by a show of hands, are on the owner side of the business, asset management, development, acquisitions? Cool. So about 40%. And then on the brokerage side? Okay. Vast majority on the brokerage side. That's fantastic. So I'm Brandon Weber. I'm the founder and CEO of a technology company called Hightower. Last show of hands, how many of you have heard of Hightower? prior to this point. Okay, cool. So a good minority. Cool. So we'll dig into kind of what Hightower is in a minute. In short, we're an end-to-end leasing platform. We believe that the commercial leasing business is going to change a lot over the next couple of years, and we're building the technology and tools to support brokers, owners, and property managers in managing a more sophisticated leasing business than they can today. So I'm going to start with a little bit of background on myself and then the problems we're solving, then we'll dig into the product itself. And hopefully this will be interesting and fun for you guys. But first, to start with a little context. So on myself, so I'm kind of an odd bird in this industry in that I'm kind of one half software engineer, one half commercial real estate practitioner. So my background is I studied computer science at Carnegie Mellon, got a couple of degrees there, and went to Microsoft. I spent 4.5 years building Excel at Microsoft, culminating in the launch of Excel 2007. So I get Excel. I love it. It's a fantastic modeling tool. I also know its weaknesses. And then I went to a little real estate technology company called Zillow. Have you guys heard of Zillow? Okay, so everyone's heard of Zillow now. Zillow was 55 people when I started, and we were just coming up with the Zestimate and the whole notion of real-time market analytics, real-time valuation for housing, and got to build a lot of really interesting tools for residential brokers, owners, and buyers that kind of transformed the industry over the last 10 years. After a couple of years at Zillow, I got bit by the real estate bug, kind of got burnt out on software engineering, and I did something that my folks thought was crazy. I got into commercial real estate, and I joined CBRE about 7 years ago, and built a leasing practice as an agency and tenant rep leasing broker in the Seattle market, represented about 4 million square feet of institutionally owned real estate, primarily office and biotech, for big companies like the JP Morgans, Biomed Realty Trust of the world, and did a lot of tenant rep too. So kind of my domain expertise is leasing through the lens of the broker representing institutional owners. And all that led to Hightower and the creation of Hightower about 2 years ago. So we're a 24-month-old company. And it was really kind of built on the fact that I was working with some of the most sophisticated owners in the industry, I think doing a lot of very big deals, and we were using the same tools they were using 25 years ago, and there was a lot of frustration, pain, and kind of lack of speed. So we thought we could do better. Little bit about Hightower. Things are moving very, very quickly. Started 24 months ago. We've raised a lot of that capital that that I think Steve mentioned. Raised $22 million in VC. We're based in Manhattan. We've got 60 employees and 3 offices. We've got 2,750 brokers on Hightower right now around the country in 455 cities or in 5 countries. And that is a chart of the square footage on our platform growth over the last couple of years. But let's talk about the industry. So this is kind of the pain that really gets us motivated, gets us out of bed every day. And it's the kind of this fact, I think it's almost a paradox. Our industry has changed a lot over the last 20 years. I think everyone would agree. It's institutionalized, it's become more sophisticated. Reporting, transparency, analysis is growing in its importance, and we're expected to do more with less on both the ownership side and on the agency or the tenant rep brokerage side. The fundamental issue, though, is our tools haven't changed much at all. You go talk to agency brokers and ask them how they do it, they're like, this is the same spreadsheet I was using back in 87, it's working great. And then they're like, well, it's actually not working that great because I've got 27 of them and they're always out of date. And so I think that's kind of where we're at. And it really kind of boils down to two kind of core aspects. Number one, our technology is really fundamentally kind of fairly old and also very siloed. So we're asked to use, you know, property management systems, valuation software. You know, I put Salesforce and Act in there for the brokers around CRM, and none of these systems talk to each other. They're total silos. So information doesn't flow very freely between them, and it's hard to make them work and connect. And as a result, Excel has become effectively our system of record. Most of the really important data that you and I use to do our jobs, valuation, market analytics, financial analysis, deal pipelines, it's not living in some fancy system that we can access in the cloud. It's living in a spreadsheet that's getting sent to you by your broker, or you're sending to your clients as a broker once every couple of weeks. And here's the other problem with that, is it's not structured. You can't analyze it. You can't roll it up to the portfolio level and see what's going on. You can't share it really quickly from your mobile phone, and you can't collaborate on it. These are some of the fundamental weaknesses of having Excel as our system of record. But all that's going to change pretty quickly. And this is, I like to put this GIF in there because this is kind of how our software, I think, makes us feel. I know this is how it made me feel as a broker. It just frustrated. I feel like I can't really get what I want out of software. No one's built us good tools, and I think that's frustrating. And really, this is kind of where we're focused on, you know, on solving some of the core problems here. So let's get into Hightower a little bit, and then we'll dig into the demo. So Hightower is, in a nutshell, end-to-end leasing management, and I'll parse that out for you. End-to-end leasing management is a new category of software that we effectively invented about 12 months ago. And it takes the premise that the commercial leasing business is a pretty complex business and it's got a lot of moving parts, and we should have a platform that helps us manage it end-to-end, whether it's tenant rep, landlord rep, whether you're an owner or broker. And there's kind of three core pillars to our platform. One is reach. So if I'm a broker, I'm trying to reach the demand in the marketplace. I'm trying to make sure every tenant in the market is on my list. I'm marketing to them. I want to make sure I followed up so my owners are happy with the work that I'm doing. Trying to make sure all my listings are up to date, which is a huge pain in the butt on CoStar. And trying to really reach the market. We think marketing on it is a huge component of what we do. Once those deals are in my pipeline and we're touring those deals, I am converting those deals. I've got a leasing activity report. I'm tracking those guys through the pipeline. I'm comparing financial analysis to budget. I'm trying to make sure that I've cleared encumbrances. All of these things today are being done in Excel spreadsheets. And then finally, once we've won the deal, once we've signed them, how do we manage that relationship? So Hightower integrates with property management systems to give you a single view over your lease expirations, kind of all in one place. And kind of really the value proposition to the brokers is you're going to save me time by consolidating my business onto a single platform. We're helping brokers win more business. They're actually going into listing pitches now with Hightower as part of their listing pitch. They're mobile, they're real-time, they're analytics-driven. Owners love that. And it's differentiation. So with that, I'm going to just toggle over to Hightower right here. You can see, okay, cool. So what we're looking at here is, there we go. So this is my portfolio. So I'm that leasing agent, and in this case, I could be at CBRE, I could be at DTZ, I could be at a local brokerage shop, and I'm tracking and managing my entire listing portfolio. In this case, I've got 6 assets, 7.5 million square feet. Hightower's tracking my availability. So in one platform, Hightower manages my listing business, my tenant rep business, and all the market data that I'm tracking. We all on the brokerage side have a bunch of tenants on the market list lying around. We probably have a comps list or maybe 10 comps lists that we're sending out. We manage all that information into one cloud and mobile platform. And everything that you're going to see here, you can do just as easily on the iPhones that I see on the table or on the Android phone. So it's a native app. It works wonderfully. So I can track my deals across my portfolio. So what you're seeing here are kind of all of the deals that I'm working on, the tenant name, the broker representing that tenant. So this is on the listing side. And if I wanted to dig into my relationship with that tenant, I can. So this is Owen Rice. This is a CBRE broker. I'm working on 10 deals with him. And I can drill all the way into a specific asset. So this is kind of all of my, so let's see, if we just wanted to go into one of my listings, DeSantis Tower. So you can just search just like Google inside of Hightower. So one of my listings here is DeSantis Tower. So this is showing me all of my deals, my tenants, my spaces for this specific building. So my deal pipeline here. Hightower does a lot of kind of the heavy lifting on analysis for you. So a lot of things that we're asked for as listing agents is just, you know, show me some metrics. What's going on in my pipeline? How does it look? So here you can see my deal pipeline. These are all the deals that I'm working on, the stage that those deals are at. But we've rolled up kind of key metrics here, showing how much square footage do I have in my pipeline, broken down by deal stage, 44,000 square feet at prospect, and then we've got 8,000 square feet at signed LOI, broken down by new or renewal. And then you can just drill into the, go all the way down into the details of the deal and see Power Incorporated, for example, which is one of the deals that I'm working on. These are all the details of that deal that I'm tracking. So it's kind of your leasing activity report on steroids. It's got all the basic details of the deal. You scroll down the contacts on the deal, the proposal history on that deal, and Hightower runs all the financial analysis of that deal too. And you can export that analysis into a fully functioning Excel model that you can share with your clients and whatnot. So all of that kind of in one place. And that's just one of the data sets. So deals, upcoming lease expirations, all of my available inventory, any options, rights, or encumbrances are being tracked here. And because all this is tracked in one place, Hightower can kind of dynamically create for you the stacking plan view of your asset. So this is a live, interactive stacking plan of DeSantis Tower. I can filter and sort that stacking plan any way that I want. Maybe I just want to show spaces that are encumbered by an encumbrance. So this is highlighted, just all the spaces in the stacking plan that are encumbered. So all of this just, this is kind of working dynamically because Hightower has this data tracked and structured together. And I guess the last thing I'll show you, just from the broker lens, is it's not just about landlord rep, it's about tenant rep too. So I think one of the fundamental problems that we're running into on the brokerage side is CRM is this thing that we can't really wrap our arms around. We've been using ACT or REA or Salesforce, none of it really works to support our business. Well, Hightower is trying to basically bring the components of CRM that drive our business, which is tracking relationships and making sure that we're staying on top of those relationships, with alongside our leasing business, managing transactions, getting deals through the pipeline. And so that's what we're doing on the tenant rep side. So it, right next to landlord rep, you can see your tenant advisor platform. These are all the deals that I'm working on. It's showing me what my expected commissions are. So this is my commission pipeline, how much in commission I'm expecting to make based on the stage of the deal. I can see all my clients, so I can manage the deals that I've already done that are expiring 3, 4, 5 years from now. And then I can manage all my pursuits. So this is a lot of kind of what we traditionally think of as CRM. Hightower thinks about it as leasing. You guys are trying to lease space, or you are trying to get deals done for tenants. You're not trying to do CRM. CRM is not a commercial real estate thing. Leasing is. And so all this is connected. So I'm tracking my pursuits, the total expected commissions. I can run all that. And then the last piece is market data. So I, as a great agency or tenant rep leasing broker, I know everything about the market. I, as an institutional owner, want to know everything about the market. So that starts with demand, so that's tenants in the market, and comps and market data. So Hightower at the same time allows you to track all of your comps and all of your tenants in the market here and share those directly with your client, whether it's on the landlord side. You can give them guest access to this in one place. So you're all collaborating on the same thing. So anyway, I'll stop there, and I guess the final point too is we've got a booth over in the exhibit area, so there's a bunch more to show. You can show you the mobile app if you guys want to check it out in more detail. With that, I'll hand it off.
Thank you, Brandon. There you go. Terrific. So that has my head spinning. I'm sure I'm not the only one. It's a lot of ground to cover. So we've really visited this whole experience from beginning to end, and heard some great approaches to how to solve these problems. My first observation is there's a fair amount of overlap. There is business intelligence that pops up in a few of these apps. There's marketing that pops up in a few of the apps. There's a little bit of overlap, but all of them solve one very specific big problem. And so I think that's really interesting. So now what we'll do is we'll open it up for Q&A, and I'll lead it off with one that I always like to lead off, and then please fill out forms are there microphones maybe? But fill out forms or stand up and yell it out. But the mics are better because we're recording. So the first question I have for the panel is, because we have some time here for questions. First panel I have is, who do you disrupt who's currently doing what you're doing? Or another way to look at that is, who's your competition? And it's not always obvious. So, but I'm always intrigued by who are you going to disrupt that's doing something identical or similar to what you're doing? And I'll ask each of you. Josh?
So it's pretty clear. We're disrupting LoopNet. LoopNet was purchased by CoStar at about the same time that I came up with the idea and founded Real Massive. You can judge for yourself the quality of LoopNet since it was acquired. We believe that Real Massive can be something exceptional, and encourage you to try it out.
Okay, great. Matt.
So I guess I'll pose a question. Has anyone here ever used FaceTime, Skype, Meerkat, Periscope for your business?
Anybody? We have a few.
Okay.
I would have guessed Periscope would be who you would disrupt, but it's not a real estate app.
Exactly. So all the applications I just named are consumer applications. They're not built for the real estate space. So essentially our most direct competition is consumer applications. Because our platform can do pre-recorded videos as well, in a way, we could be competing with any videography company out there, but we're the DIY solution. We're on your smartphone, your tablet. We're not going to be a fully polished marketing material. We're the quick, customizable platform that allows you to take a two-minute video, and with the touch of a button, it's to the cloud, and you can send that to your client. So no direct competition in the space, and we're trying to pave that way.
Great. Thank you. Scott?
I'd like to ask a question as well. How many have ever ran a D&B for a lease deal or a tenant? How many think it's actually a meaningful tool or information? So our methodology is we're not doing the same analysis as D&B, but indirectly they are a competitor. We are disrupting them. I would say that since we're the first to do this, we're really disrupting credit underwriters or third parties who underwrite lease deals. There's a number of those firms around the country, and internal processes and methods. So we really view ourselves as a better, faster, cheaper tool to do what they're already doing inside of real estate. I do think that one of our challenges is for companies with credit departments, they might feel threatened, but I think in the end we're going to make with our data there have better analysis and speed up their processes and permit them to do either more analysis or go more in depth on particular lease deals.
Great, thank you.
On the brokerage side, we're replacing essentially old CRMs, so ACT, REA, Salesforce, and Excel spreadsheets with a single platform. And then on the ownership side, we're disrupting internal systems that they've tried to kind of duct tape together to get this visibility, or just frankly thousands and thousands of Excel spreadsheets that are coming from their hundreds of brokers.
Okay. Questions from the audience? Do we have any yet? Step up to the microphone if you could, please, because we're trying to record this, if you wouldn't mind. Either that or call it out and I'll repeat it.
Or good. Yeah.
And in the meantime, I'll ask a quick question that I like to ask. Sometimes I like to know, did you start as a mobile or did you port to mobile? But in general, because we've gone so mobile, Real Massive is mobile, right, Josh? Great. And obviously Real Link is mobile. Scott, do you think Remeter will need to be mobile or not?
Well, we are a web-based SaaS product, so you really are not downloading software, and we are mobile.
Okay. Yeah. And Brandon, you have a new announcement, right?
Yeah, I mean, we recently launched the new version of our mobile platform. Mobility is critical to everything that we do. You should be able to run your business from wherever you're at.
So, yeah. That was an easy answer. Okay.
Go ahead.
For Hightower, can you import contacts from Outlook, Google, everything?
Yeah, actually, here's one of the biggest challenges of deploying new software for all of you guys in the room is the fact that you've got all this stuff in these other systems, right? Thousands of contacts, thousands of deals, hundreds of leasing activity reports. So probably one of the coolest parts of our service has nothing to do with technology. We call it white glove data onboarding. So we import for you initially as part of the onboarding all of your data. You can import your entire Outlook contact database, all of your historical leasing activity reports, things like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great question. This issue of legacy data, we've got all of this tremendous amounts of data that's now getting unlocked. Yeah. Josh, how does Real Massive, when somebody wants to come over to your platform, how do you handle existing legacy data?
So existing legacy data exists in CSV files, Excel spreadsheets, PDFs, especially when you're marketing properties. So everybody does Adobe InDesign, et cetera. And so there's no way around just having a large amount of manual effort. Because we're disrupting a larger system, we take on the burden of doing that for you. And so we also have that white glove effort. And we have automated systems that then check the numbers once they're in the system to make sure that there were no fat fingered on either side. We actually have gotten a lot of kudos from our customers where they actually published information on their website that was inaccurate. They didn't mean to, and our systems actually caught that because it just was so far of an outlier outside of what the market numbers showed us.
Thank you.
Josh, this is for you.
Two-part question. One is, one of the big problems with LoopNet is that the information is not really vetted. Anybody can post on LoopNet. They could post a listing. They may not be the exclusive agent. The listings sit up there for long periods of time. They're not updated. How do you manage that issue, if you do? Second part of the question is, since your product is free, how are you guys making money?
We make money in several different ways. So we have a new product that we just launched called Project Atlas. Project Atlas is something that we're selling into banks, into brokerage houses, and into asset managers. That because now that we have the data for the various different markets that we're in, we're one of the only companies in the world now that can give an aggregated view, for instance, of like a Doppler radar weather report where you see crime waves moving across the metropolitan cities over decades, over years, over months. And then you can also track the rent rates in correlation to crime rates, et cetera. And so then you, if you're about to green light a building and you see that's in a wrong section of town, it can save you, you know, $10, $20, $30, $100 million. How do we curate our data? I'm not sure if you're familiar with Amazon Turk. So we have basically thousands of workers in the cloud who get paid per task. Some of them get paid 5 cents per task. Some of them get paid $15 per task. But these are called human intelligence tasks. A big portion of our system is based on that. We also have machine learning systems, which is kind of popularly referred to as artificial intelligence. Actually, what it is it's basically sort of statistical systems that are being educated by all of these human workers who are kind of educating it all the time on what the sort of normal rates are for rates, square footages, et cetera. So if somebody fat fingers, it's 10,000 square feet in a building that we know that there can only be 5,000 square feet left available in that building, we're going to get a red flag on that. That's going to go up to a supervisor or to a quality assurance person. Thank also, crowdsourcing data. So because it's free, anybody can get on there. And so people who are looking at space can actually interact with your listing. And when they interact with the listing, basically they're saying, I don't think this data is correct. It flags it for us. It also messages it to you. And so you can update your data, or we'll have a red flag there, and we'll have somebody go check that out.
Josh, that's a great thing to bring up, this issue of crowdsourcing, where it's tremendously expensive and time-consuming to gather data. So we have a couple of things. We have machine intelligence or artificial intelligence to help expand the data set and scrub the data set, but we've also got people out in the world who are populating, and then that data needs to be analyzed. But this is how it's scalable. Presumably, you just can't scale this stuff with a call center. In a number of your worlds, this is just not scalable. We have to rely on the technology, which wasn't really possible until recent developments. So that was a great question. Thank you. We have another question.
Hi, I do IT consulting.
Could you speak into the mic just a little louder for us? Thank you. That was my fault. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to do that.
I do IT consulting.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
For a brokerage. Company that have 10 different offices.
Louder, please.
Mic closer. There you go.
One of the questions I have when I talk to software developers, you know, specifically for CRE, I'm looking at it from a brokerage perspective, not so much an individual agent. So part of the problem is, you know, you talk about islands of data, siloed data, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. How does Hightower talk to Real Massive, you know, not so much for Reallink, but where's the integration between all the different new apps that are coming out? From a brokerage perspective, I needed to talk to accounting. I need, I'm just not interested in lease transactions. I want someplace to put my sale transactions. I want mm-hmm. to see it all together. So that's my question to all these new app developers. what do you do for the brokerage? I mean, you're looking at it from a single perspective. Yeah.
That's a great question, and I think I'll start with Brandon, because you started kind of in a specific space with Hightower, mm-hmm. and then it has expanded.
Yeah. It's a really good question. I think everyone has the same problem. On the ownership side, we have the same set of issues. Connect with my property management systems, connect with Argus Enterprise or DCF. I want one dashboard for everything. So Hightower is, most of these technologies here are built on top of an entirely new kind of way of building software, which are called open APIs, which make it really easy for our software to talk to their software. It's a language, it's called an application programming interface. You guys don't need to worry about that. What you need to know is that it's much easier for Hightower to communicate with a Yardi or an Argus than for an Argus to communicate with an MRI. And as a result, we've got integrations built for all these systems. Yesterday, CBRE announced a global enterprise agreement with Hightower. It was just published in The Real Deal. Super exciting. This is a big, big deal. They're paying for this across their entire organization for all their brokers. And that's because they and all the major brokerage firms have the same problem, which is we have an incredible amount of information as a firm, but we don't get to utilize it. We can't leverage it. We've got a lot of intelligence that's going unleveraged. So we bring that together. And I think you asked some questions around feature set. You know, is Hightower going to be tracking investment sales transactions? Yes, very soon. 2 months ago, Hightower didn't do tenant rep. Now Hightower does tenant rep. We're all moving very, very quickly as platforms, as software organizations as well. So those are a couple of thoughts.
And Josh, you started sort of narrow and have broadened out as well, and now you've launched Atlas. And is this the same attempt to try to both integrate and also expand the platform?
Yes. So both in Project Atlas and with Real Massive, we began with the data, the idea of opening up the marketing data. So with Project Atlas, you can actually upload your own Excel spreadsheets into the system, and it will graph out and visualize the data for you against the things that we provide, which are like aggregated rents, market valuations, crime rate, that sort of thing. So for instance, if you want to see where all the Starbucks are in relation to the building that you're thinking about building or financing, et cetera, that would be Project Atlas. You can also apply for the API that Brandon was referring to, which is just an interface for your data. So you can suck down the data from the entire marketplace. Again, we don't own the data. You guys own the data. And so we don't charge you to take that data back out of the system. It's our job to market that data for you, not charge you for just looking at the data. So if you want to download that into an Excel spreadsheet, you would just create a survey that Tanya showed you. You just export to CSV. You can also export to PowerPoint and other Microsoft Office products.
Great. Thank you. And with that, do we have one more question?
Just one general question.
Sure. Good question. How will the industry be affected generally by these and the many others that are out there? And I'll talk a little bit about it tomorrow, but I'd like to have some comment on that.
You know, when I was at Zillow, residential real estate agents thought that Zillow was going to replace them and that agents were going to be basically disintermediated. And Zillow effectively did the opposite. It kind of elevated the work that agents did, got them out of the business of like driving around and showing 100 houses, and got them into the business of being a good project manager to get deals over the line, negotiate, be great marketers. And today there are more residential real estate agents than there were when Zillow started. The commission rate that a residential real estate agent gets paid today is equal to what it was before those guys started, when everyone thought there was going to be rate compression. So I think this is very topical. Everyone asked this question initially. So notice that you heard none of us say what I'm disrupting is a broker or what I'm disrupting is an owner. We're really disrupting crappy tools. I mean, like we're basically disrupting the fact that none of us have had really good tools built for us for 20 years, and that sucks. What I will say, though, just last point, the nature or the role of the broker over the next 5 years is going to change. Like, we are creating transparency. We're creating some more accountability. We're giving you guys power tools so that you can get your jobs done from the golf course or remotely, and you can do it really effectively. And I'm a broker. I get it. Like, that's what I did. I would love to be able to work effectively from wherever the heck I'm at. I hate the notion of being chained to an end drive, chained to the desktop, or like a spreadsheet that I need to update is like out at work and I have to drive into the office. That just sucks. That is all going to change. And I believe that commercial real estate over the next couple of years, it's going to be a better place for us to work because we're essentially kind of getting a lot of the brain damage out of the system. But brokers who rely solely on kind of this information arbitrage, like I've got three comps that no one else does, or I've got a pocket listing that no one else does, those are the brokers that are going to have to change the way that they do business. Good brokers absolutely freaking love these tools.
It is going to change things. So if your office becomes more efficient, it's not just more convenient, like what Brandon was saying, but we already have historic numbers from the residential industry that there was no commission compression, right? So if your office is running more efficiently, that means you're either going to be able to do more deals or you're simply going to have fewer expenses. And so what technology has shown us over time is a massive productivity increase across the entire United States. And so that productivity increase tends to lead to income disparity, right? So the people at the top tend to make more money because technology is doing more of the grunt work. And so you can think about the number of people that you have in your office probably decreasing by a little bit if you do the same amount of volume. If you want to increase the amount of volume, you can keep the office workers that you know and love and do more business.
Wow. Okay, that answered the question, I think. I hope it did. Anything to add, Scott or Matt?
I would just say on the touring side of it, I mean, I could echo everything these guys just said, but when it comes to actually touring, since that's kind of my area expertise and all that, there's this conversation of excess capacity. You're stuck only touring properties when this, and this line up and are fully available. We can take so many of those variables out of the equation. So you can walk clients through a property on a Tuesday afternoon and they're halfway across the world and you would have otherwise had to wait 3 weeks until they were physically there in person. So this
could impact the industry, although you're not really disrupting anybody in this room. But you're providing a great tool.
It streamlines and efficiencies and
Scott, one last comment?
Well, I think our analysis and data is actually empowering CRE professionals. So on the rep side, you know, I don't know how many of you are reps, but if you spend 3 or 4 months moving, showing some private company space only to find out that they have poor credit, you know, this will empower you maybe to vet and better position your tenant in the marketplace. On the landlord side, they can respond to tenants very quickly and be the first to catch deals or be more aggressive to catch good credit deals. So I think it's just power is knowledge. I think it's speed and accuracy will help actually improve brokers and enhance their value if they utilize the technology.
Great. And with that, I'd like to thank all of our panelists, Brandon, Scott, Matt, Josh, and Tanya.